Well, thank you, Barney.
Yep.
Well, good evening, everybody. And, you know, today has been quite the day, a couple of days leading up to it. I've just really been thinking about, and we've been dealing with some situations with some believers that have been very hurtful and hard for them. And, you know, the love of God and the trust in God is really the things that get us through. And I thought it would be really great because a lot of our country needs this. Our country is in a pretty big turmoil, bigger than I've ever seen. And I wasn't born before the war, World War II, but since I have been born, I've never seen it quite so hardened across the country, around the world, really. But, you know, God tells us that no matter who is in the leadership of this country, we are to pray for that person. And doesn't say you have to love him, like him. It says you pray for people in power, you know. And I know there's a lot of opinions out there, and the reason I'm teaching this is because it has touched some of the believers in a very hurtful way. And so we're working with the things that God has given us to get through that situation and to just speak the truth of God's word across this country needs to happen. And you guys, nobody's going to do it if we don't. If the Christians don't rise up and just take a stand, a loving stand, but a stand for God and his word, and loving people and prayer are two of the biggest things we can do to hold off the adversary. So tonight, I want to go through some scriptures about love, and then we're going to go through scriptures about prayer. You know, prayer is a product of love, and it started with God. If you ever take time to go to Genesis, the first four or five chapters of Genesis, and you read what God's plan was. He's written it out for us to see. He loved us from before we got here. And he did everything for man to survive, to be blessed, and to be able to produce and continue to have that love and that joyfulness in their hearts. From the very beginning, before he even created them, he set us up to have the best of the best. And you know why? Because he loved us. He loved us. And this love that I'm talking about is an unconditional love. It is a love that supersedes mistakes. And it has to be manifested towards each other, and it has to be manifested towards yourself. I don't think there's anybody on this line that hasn't made mistakes, and maybe some pretty bad ones. And yet, the love of God was absolutely available from the moment the mistake happened until you finally forgave yourself and be able to love yourself again. I'm sure we're all been in situations like that. So love is one of the greatest examples that God sets in his words. In the written scriptures, and I know each one of us could have testimony after testimony of where we could share how God loved us into such a situation that it was like incredible. And then at the end of that situation, we could love ourselves again. So this is love and prayer is what this world needs right now. So let's go to John 3:16. You can't talk about love but not go to this verse. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now look at those words. He loved us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There is none other like him. And whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a great example of love. An example of love that is so huge and so amazing that even knowing what his son was going to have to go through. And if you're a parent, you know, first time Joshua fell down, scratched his knees, I was like, oh my God, what can we do? You know, I'll pray for you. I mean, it's just a thing from a parent to see their child hurt or in need. That love just boils up inside your heart. And you know what? God loved us so much that he was able to get through what he knew his son was going to have to get through and be there for him. And as parents and children, I mean, we're a family, you know, and there shouldn't be anything, politics or music or whatever it is that causes a division in that family. That is not how God set it up to be. So it behooves us to really understand that love of God, because once that love of God becomes boiling up in our heart, praying for somebody who's hurt you or done things that caused division in a situation can easily, and I truly mean that, once we understand this greatness of love, can easily be prayed for. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at love. We're going to look at what God says love is. But God demonstrates, Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love. He did it first. God demonstrates his own love towards us, that in while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't do it because we were all together. That's not why he did it. That's not why God asked him to do it. We were still sinners. We were the bad guys, so to speak. And yet, this love is so tremendously powerful from God towards us, is that that didn't matter. The circumstances don't matter. What matters is the love and the concerning care for one another's hearts. Look at Romans chapter 8. We'll go to verse 38. For I am persuaded, and that word persuaded is like convinced, like I'm there. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the power of love. Nothing can separate us. Nothing. Nothing. The only thing that separates us from the love of God is me or you, when we decide, nah, I'm not going to believe the word. Is the love of God still there for us? Yes. Do we live it? No. So there is a big part we play in this too. We have to trust God, even when things aren't going the way we want them to go. Even when we don't feel like there's a answer at the end of this problem. But there always is. And you know why? Because God set it up that way. He loved us first. He sent his son for us so we could be connected back to him. And he says nothing shall separate us from his love, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. How many times have you been hurt or discouraged by somebody you really love, and you really are just like, I just can't even believe that happened. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe he did that. I can't believe she did that. You know what? All of us make mistakes. But even our mistakes are not greater than God's love. Even the mistakes we make towards each other are not greater than God's love. And we have to remember that. And sometimes it's the person that gets hurt that has to remember that the most. We cannot allow the adversary to use somebody else's mistake against them or us as brothers and sisters of Christ. We need to stand in unity on the love of God and on the power of forgiveness that happened on that cross. When Jesus Christ went through what he went through, that gives us so much ability, so many different avenues in which to fight back the things the adversary tries to work in people's hearts. And we have to just be, I'm not letting it. I'm not letting it. Go to 1 John chapter 4. You know, in that last verse we just saw, verse 5, Ephesians 2, verse 5, about, and made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. All of us have needed and have used the grace of God to get our hearts back in the right spot, all of us. Look at 1 John 4, 15. Whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Do you believe the love that God has for you? Yeah, come on, you do. Come on, and we all do it. We all know that he loves us, that he has this great love for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Now it's that last part of that verse. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Sometimes, I don't know about you, sometimes I've blown it, and I thought, God, there's just no way out of this. There's no way. There's just no way. I can't, you know, I hurt that, that's it. I hurt that person. It's not over. You know why? We can love like this because he does abide in us. When we blow it, God's spirit doesn't take off. I'll come back when you got it together. Uh-uh. Once you are born again of God's spirit, it is there. And it doesn't matter what you did or didn't do right. He is going to love us, and he gives us that ability to forgive ourselves and forgive each other. I mean, this love is so powerful. You know, and sometimes I think it just gets lost because it's such a word that can mean different things to people. You know, like, well, if you love me, you wouldn't make a mistake. If you love me, you'd have done this or that. No, that's not what love is. Love is something that's deep inside your heart that God generates within you. And once we understand that, the things that have hurt us in the past won't hurt us so much if it happens in the future. You know why? Because we know how to forgive. And a lot of times if we don't forgive, it's us that stay in the turmoil. Sometimes you run into people who don't care if they hurt you. And they just go about their lives. Don't even think about it twice. And you're still wondering, why did that happen? Okay, here's a good reason. There's a devil. And he wants to attack us, God's people. So we want to remember who we are. And it is God in Christ in us. And if we see the power in these verses of God loving us, this is the same way we can love one another. It's God in Christ in us. And that Spirit gives us the power to love each other like God loves us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. These verses are just so, wow. Whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. And he, that person, you or me, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. And that is why we're reading these scriptures, to remind ourselves of the love of God that he has for us. And he will always have for us. That he has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So that love that abides in God, if God abides in us, we have that love to love each other with. Love is so powerful, and I'm not talking about, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about unconditional, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 kind of love. Read it again sometime tonight or tomorrow. Read it and really realize all those things that are in that chapter and that about love is in you. That just amazes me when I think about it. Verse 17, love has been perfected. So that, well, I can't do that. Well, got to go back and read that verse then. Love has been perfected among us in this. And here's the way. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. This is the love of God, agapeo love that we've been reading about. Cast out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. But we have been made perfect in love. We've just read about it. It is God in Christ in us. And that love of God is perfected in us by that Spirit of God. We have no excuses not to love people. And you know, there is no way we're all going to agree about everything in life together the same way. But the things of God we can do towards each other and for each other, even if we don't hold the same opinion of some topic or some person we need to get this country back to loving each other and to speaking the word of God is the way to do it. We have to use God's standard as our standard, not what everybody else is saying and doing. Remember, God tells us, don't get entangled with the things of this world. You know why? Because they can confuse you. They can distort things easily. We have to stay focused on him and the love that he has for us, and the love we have each other. And when we do that prayer, praying for one another, is easy. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at some verses on prayer. Matthew 6, 6. But you, when you pray. I love that but God verse. I read this earlier this morning, but you. I'm like, but you? Huh? But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your heavenly Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. See, there are things that we can share from our hearts with God that maybe nobody else could forgive us for, unless they choose to. But God's not like that. We go in there and we pour it all out. And why hold back? He already knows. He's already seen. And he will bless you. And he will reward you openly. Prayer is so powerful. Love and prayer together, it's just amazing. If you start reading verses about love and prayer, it's just like, they fit like a hand in a glove with one another. You cannot have one without the other. Okay, let's look at Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, this is very personal here. This is, therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you ask. So, this is between you and God. Whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Wow. But see, this verse of scripture here isn't talking about believing for, you know, a Mustang convertible or anything like that. This right here is talking about the relationship between you and God. And it's the trust and the believing and the power of your heart towards God that allows what you pray for, you will have. Because if your heart is locked in with God, you're not going to be praying for bad stuff. You're going to be praying for the things that bless not only you and others, but it blesses God for you to come to Him and ask for those things, to minister to people, to be able to pray for somebody else, to go to Him and say, I really need this. I'm really screwed up right now, God. I can't get locked in. I don't know. Help me. And you know what? You're going to get the help. He's going to show you. Because love and prayer is really not about emotions. Now, it can be if we allow it to be, but love and prayer is about trust and confidence in God. And it's also trusting and having confidence in yourself that you will do the things of God when God shows you what to do. And God needs us to do that. Look at Romans chapter 12. We're going to do verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patience, and tribulation, continually, steadfastly in prayer. You know, this is quite the verse, because sometimes we do have tribulation. Sometimes things are done to us that we can't stop, but we can go to God. We can stay locked in. We can have hope, knowing that God is going to turn around the tribulation as we stay steadfast in prayer with Him. As we lay this down at His feet, what was laid down at ours that we can't handle necessarily sometimes by ourselves, by just reading the Word. I mean, we need God to talk to us, to hear us, to have a conversation with Him. And He'll be right there. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. That's what prayer, prayer. Now, have you ever had a prayer partner? I'm sure most of you have. And if you haven't, or you haven't in a while, you should do it. A prayer partner between you and God and another person, or two or three people, however you want to do it, is powerful. And when you walk away from that, the things that I have found is when I've walked away from that, my heart is so full of rejoicing because I know God's going to do stuff. And other times, you know, I walk away and I'm so thankful because I couldn't have done that by myself. I needed my brothers and sisters there to pray with me. God has got us covered, guys. Love and prayer is so important. And this country, there is so much hatred. There is so much division right now. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for the leadership of this country. We need to pray for each other. And if somebody just pops in your mind, speak in tongues for them. you don't always have to know, and God doesn't always show you what's wrong in a situation. Sometimes, speak in tongues. And that, I mean, look at the power of that type of prayer. Wow. It's just, okay, did we do Ephesians 6, 18 yet? Nope. So let's go there. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Well, that's what I was just talking about. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for just the saints I'm friends with. No. For just the saints I agree with. No. With supplication for all the saints. Okay? Like I said, you don't have to agree on everything the same way. But you can pray for one another. You can be kind with to one another. And you can put things on a shelf between two people. And that person can go to God and you can go to God. And let's let God work it out. We don't disconnect our families because we disagree on earthly things, on worldly things. That is so painful to the body of Christ. And it's not just the people that you're doing it to directly. It's people that love them, that see what's happening. This is important. We need to be praying for one another, even if there's nothing going on necessarily in your life. We need to pray for each other to see our country turn its eyes towards God again. And each believer can do his part because God will show us what to do. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Prayer. Love and prayer, you guys. And you don't have to love someone to pray for them. But you should. But you don't have to. You can still pray for them. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. Here is something else that flows from love and prayer. Peace. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What power we have in our lives when we pray. It is the Spirit of God moving within us. It is the Spirit of God giving us direction. It's amazing. Colossians chapter 4. Continue. That means we've already started. Continue earnestly in prayer. Being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. You know, sometimes it's like, you know, you get a prayer list and you look at things on this prayer list and then you kind of go, God, that's a long prayer. No. Be vigilant with thanksgiving. Be thankful that you have a God that is available to you no matter what you need to pray for. He is there, and he is faithful, and he is loving, and he has the answers. So be vigilant in it. If you don't see an answer right away, don't give up. Keep praying. Keep speaking in tongues. Keep going to the scriptures and read, and go back and pray again. God will show us the answer, the way to get the best results out of any situation we're in our life, if we let him. If we go, well, I don't want to bother God. I mean, maybe praying about this. Maybe I'm not praying right. I mean, I don't know. I just don't see it. But God, people. But God's bigger than you not seeing the answer right now. Keep praying. Keep loving. Keep being kind. Keep being who you are in Christ. And you will see mountains of victory come to pass in your life. It's just the way God is. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. What a great verse this is. I chuckle because when I see this verse, I remember when sometimes, well, let's let me read the verse. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, I cannot say I have always gone boldly before the grace of before the throne of grace. Sometimes I'm like, God, please forgive me. Do you have any grace in there for me? I mean, sometimes your mind just, you know, the devil twists it to take away the remembrance of stuff like this. We don't go, when we make a mistake, we go boldly into that throne of grace. That's why it's there. That's why Jesus Christ went through some of what he went through on that cross. So there is grace to go before God for. Wow. Don't ever back out of going to God because of your mistake. Go in there and just say, here I am, help me, fix me. Show my heart what I need to change. Because that grace in our life was paid by a very high price. And you know what? God knew that when he had Jesus Christ do it. And Jesus Christ knew it before he agreed to do it. Remember that. When you feel like guilty, stop it. Don't be guilty. Go into that throne of grace. Have a conversation with God. Have him open your heart there to him so he can heal it. That's the best thing we can do. Go to 1 John. God, I hope this isn't too heavy. I don't mean it to be heavy. It's just, wow, the words are just powerful. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, 15. Now, this is the confidence. Okay, now, listen, guys. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. The him is who? God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. Wow. Now, we all know you don't go in and ask for dumb stuff. Come on. We know better than that. Now it is the confidence that we have in him, not in yourself, in God, that if we ask according to his will, is his will to forgive? Is his will to heal? Is his will to abundantly bless his people? To open doors that will be blessings on them and others in their lives? Of course he is. And we need to have the boldness to go in and say, God, man, I need your help here. God is so gracious and loving. And you guys, these are just some verses I picked. There's verses all throughout the Bible about God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, and about the power of prayer. Because prayer and love go together. Okay, we'll close this out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, okay? Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourself and for all. Okay, let's read that again. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with the people I like. No, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue, chase after, that word pursue, what is good both for yourself and for all. Rejoice always and pray without ceasing. Wow. there's some great verses here, guys, about God's love and the power of prayer and some other little things we hit on it and behavior type stuff and how to approach the throne of God and how to treat one another. And, you know, we're praying for the things of God that we all have things in our lives and people that come to our lives that we want to minister to and we pray with and we work together with. And two of the most powerful things you can do is to pray and love people unconditionally. Because a lot of times when they're hurt, that's what they need first so that they can get back into that battle. And I think we saw some great verses on love tonight and on how God handles us, his children, and what he set the example for. And no, we can't be God, but we can be his children, and we can be filled with his power and his love and kick the devil's butt every time he tries to attack us or someone that is part of the body of Christ. So God bless you.